Welcome to the Worship Generation Radio Ministry with Pastor Joey Brand, a ministry of Worship Generation Church located in Fountain Valley, California. For more information, please visit us at www.worshipgeneration.com.
We believe in the power of the gospel. We believe you can transform every soul.
Now let's join Pastor Joey as we glean from different passages in the Gospel of Mark.
They're not worried about, is there food? Is there shelter? Is there safe travel on the journey? I don't think Sarah Jameson and Chloe, and that they go to sleep on when it's, because let's face it, the kids love the twice a year church beach day. It's a highlight. It's huge. It's a pinnacle. And we only do it in July and August, that one Sunday in July and that one Sunday in August. And they get psyched up. I try to picture any of the kids worried about, like, well, is dad really going to take us? Is mom really going to take us? Are we really going to get there? Or, you know, am I going to have my sunblock and all that? Am I going to have the food? Are we sure that Heidi's going to bring water and snacks for, you know, for Chloe or Trinity back in the day? Would those girls ever worry about that? Do your kids worry about that? Do your kids, when you take them to beach day at Little Corona, are they worried, like, about the beach umbrella, the shelter, the church bringing the pop-up tent, the waters, the little snacks? Are they worried about any of that? No, they are not. It's completely covered. We got it. And they're able to enjoy everything that the day has for them. And they go home happy little kids from the tree of life. That's how that works. Now, when the surf was huge back in July, and it was, we never took our eyes off what was going on. Now, you parents, I watch you with your kids, whether it's huge or small, right? You're watching your kids, right? You're watching them. You're holding them in some cases. But you don't turn your back on your child at the beach. And if you've ever done it, you just know how terrifying it is if all of a sudden, even for 5 seconds, you can't account for one of your kids. It's that heart-dropping thing. So we look out for them, and we've got them covered. We're taking care of them. Our children trust us to provide for them, take care of them, and get them where they're going. And what is different about that between us and the Lord as adults? In fact, Jesus said, if you earthly fathers know how to do good things, how much more will your Father in heaven do good things for you? So he takes the natural paternal instincts of providing, protecting, and taking care of, and he gives them to the Father, attributes them to the Father, and says, how much more from the one who's holy and sinless does he look out for us? So really what we're talking about is faith and trust in the Lord that he's going to take care of it. And of course, Jesus taught on this in the Sermon on the Mount, not to worry about tomorrow, what you'll eat or what you'll wear and things like that, and he'll take care of us. How many people die from stress? How many people die from anxiety and live shorter lives because of the stress and the anxiety of their inability to have faith and trust in the Lord? And they overthink it. And they overthink it. And it becomes a Rubik's Cube with no resolution in their minds because they can't give it to the Lord and trust in the Lord. Jesus said, unless you become like one of these children, you can by no means enter the kingdom. And here's the simple thing about that child. That child was being brought to Jesus. And that child was being directed to Jesus. And they're asking Jesus to bless the children, that child, if you will. And it's a childlike, simple faith that will save us from our sins when we look to Jesus, the Son of God, as the Savior of our sins. And we believe that simple gospel message, which he references in this passage tonight. And we believe it. And we receive it. That's why it says in John's gospel, as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. We receive the kingdom when we receive Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ, we receive the kingdom. When we receive the kingdom, we have received Jesus Christ. They're one and the same. And we do so with a simple faith. I'm just very grateful that at a Harvest Crusade, Greg Laurie doesn't get up there and explain some difficult equation. His His ministry, for example, Greg Laurie at the Harvest Crusade, when he gets up, his message is simple enough that a kindergartner should be able to comprehend it. Pretty much. That's how simple it is. And you know, all the baptisms we've done in the last 9 years at Little Corona, and many of them have been with children, we always ask them, like, do you understand what you're doing? They're like, yes. And you say, well, Jesus died for my sins. I'm identifying with Jesus in his death and burial and resurrection. And, you know, my sins are washed away like I go in the water and I'm going to heaven. It's like, yes. And that's what Trinity Jameson said about 3 summers ago when I baptized her. And she went to heaven 15 months later. But a year later, Elijah Wilkerson was being baptized, who's going into sixth grade. So this would be like fourth grade or so. And we're all worshiping, and Trinity was there in the wagon, and she was dying. And I remember looking at Elijah. I got on my knees because I always like to talk to the kids on their eye level. I was on my knees. I go, do you understand what you're doing? He was just, well, he was as sharp as a tack on the kingdom of God. And who he was in Christ and what he was doing that day. And he understood exactly what he was doing and what it was all about. That's how it begins. That's how it ends. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And it can be as simple as Trinity Jameson on her deathbed singing praise songs with Jack McEwen 48 hours before eternity. Or it can be as simple on the other end of the journey, Jack McEwen's grandfather turning to Jack's brother Noah and giving him thumbs up 15 minutes before he steps into eternity. Unless you have the faith like a child, you're not going to make it. So if you want a bubblehead, you want to be a know-it-all, and think you've outsmarted God, good luck. Because the faith of a child is a humble faith, and it's a simple faith. And when all hell breaks loose and all things can go wrong in your life at the tree of knowledge of good and evil come against you, it is by a simple faith that you're going to stand. Having done all to stand, stand. And not move from the rock that is Jesus Christ, the anchor and the hope of our soul. Hebrews chapter 5. It's that simple, childlike faith. That's what gives me confidence in every difficult thing I have to stare down. Jesus, you love me, you died for me, you saved me, you called me, I'm here. Let's do this. My faith is in Jesus. Your faith needs to be in Jesus. My faith for salvation is in Jesus. When I've stared down the grave, and I have, and so have you, and so will you, and so will I, it's going to be in Jesus. You want it to be in Jesus. When I know I'm going, my confidence is going to be in Jesus. And if I know I'm going, like drifting going, like a terminal illness, it's going to be in Jesus. If it's coming suddenly, it's like, well, Jesus, I guess this is it. Help. I'm going to trust in Jesus. You're going to trust in Jesus. That's who we look to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, like a child. So get as smart as you want, but don't get so smart that you think you outsmart God and the blood of Christ. For without the shedding of the blood, there can be no remission of sins. And the blood of bulls and goats won't do. It is the perfect, spotless blood of Christ by which we are saved. And as Peter said to the Sanhedrin Council, there is no other name given among men by which you must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. You come like a child. And that was their problem. They were like the rich young ruler here, and they thought they could save themselves. And whereas the children have faith and humility and trust, these guys, they have pride and self-confidence and unbelief. How dare you say I can't save myself? It's an offense. The Bible, Paul said the cross is an offense. To those who are being saved, it's life. But to those who reject the cross and who seek to save themselves and trust in their own righteousness, the cross is an offense. It is a huge offense. An offense where people are willing to just kill so many innocent people because of the cross. People will kill innocent people not because of the cross, but there's a lot of people out there killing innocent people in our day, in our time, right now, because of the cross. There are people who are so offended at the gospel of grace and the simple faith of Christ that it just infuriates them to the ends of the earth. It's unbelievable. But actually it is because of human nature and how humanity is. And so now we have the rich young ruler, and he comes on the scene. And He says, what shall I do? See the difference? See, they bring the children to be blessed by Jesus. He says, what shall I do? What can I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus is eternal life. He's more than a teacher. He is God. Teacher. See, he wanted Jesus to justify him and tell him something, you know, insightful and intellectual to help him on his journey. And Jesus basically exposed him. He let the man justify himself. Oh, I've done all these things since my youth. I'm a good person. In fact, I'm one of the better people in my church. I'm a good person. I've done all these things from my youth. Jesus could have just like fully like gone a different route. But he said, yeah, but you just lack one thing. See, he lacked the humility to fully trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Why do you call me good? There's one good, but God. See, and so Jesus is connecting him. He's trying to get the man to realize, well, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And I am is the title of God at the burning bush. Unless you believe I'm God, you're dead in your sins. He already said that. So what he's really saying here to the guy is, it's almost like a chess match of wits. Oh, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, do this. Why do you call me good? There's one good, God. Do this. I've done those things. One thing you lack. And Jeremy taught a study recently on Tuesday nights. It was 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I just listened to it. It was a great study. And what he talked about, the number one problem with religion and world religions is no matter how good you could be, no matter how devoted you could be, you could fast for 30 days. You could run in circles around this place or that place. You could, you know, go to the synagogue. You could go to the temple. You can, you know, bathe yourself in this river. You can meditate and not talk to someone for years, whatever. No matter how good you think you could be, you still have one absolute fundamental issue, and it is sin. And sin separates, and the wages of sin is death. And so there always is one thing we lack. There's always one thing we lack. Because to be guilty in one part of God's law is to be condemned by the entire righteousness of his law, the Bible says. And this man lacked one thing, and Jesus exposed it. And we all lack one thing because of our sinful nature. And if you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Christ, you might lack a lot of things, but you lack the one thing. You fall short to miss the mark. Sin is to miss the mark. This man missed the mark. I've done all these things from my youth. Okay, cool. Well, here's what you need to do. You lack one thing. Do this. Jesus exposed his lack of faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the two great sins that will keep a person from heaven are unbelief in the Son and pride, which is the foundation of the unbelief in the Son. Those are the two things. This man was full of himself. He was trusting in himself. Jesus said in interpreting this event to the apostles, says, how hard it is for those who trust in riches. And this man was trusting in himself. He was a self-made man, probably a very good businessman, probably very smart. He had great wealth. The text makes that all clear for us. He was trusting in himself. And there's this great danger of trusting in herself. And that's what this man is exposed for. He had a false sense of security, but in fact, he wasn't secure. He could say, I've done all these things from my youth, but then he's exposed. And what did Jesus say to him? Don't miss this. He said, give what you have to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You see, this man's wealth was all on earth. He had no wealth in heaven. He had accumulated and acquired. And that was, that was his God. His wealth was his God. His wealth was his stumbling block. It's not. There's plenty of wealthy people that wealth isn't a stumbling block. They don't trust in riches. They're generous with riches. But Jesus said it is very difficult. It's very difficult how wealth can go from you owning, the Lord owning your wealth and you being a steward of that wealth, to suddenly you own that wealth and then it owns you. That's kind of how wealth works, right? Either the Lord owns it all or you begin to own it. And then when you begin to own it, the only thing left is it's going to own you. It's going to own you. It's going to own you. The wisest thing you can do with resources is be a conduit of grace. But I do find it almost amusing. In fact, it really is amusing to me that of all the wealth you can attain in this world, you can't take any of it with you. Isn't that like Solomon, you know, in all of his wealth, he's like, it's a curse of the human experience. I can't take it with me. You can accumulate all this wealth, all these properties and assets and all these things, and you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. Think about that for a minute. It doesn't transfer. Time, space, and matter wealth in the sense of literal physical wealth, assets and, you know, whatever it might be. We'll just call it economic assets. You can't take it with you. And you talk about one government like redistributing the wealth. You know, like, oh, they're redistributing the wealth. Well, listen, everybody redistributes wealth because everyone leaves it behind. So if you have a lot of wealth, and let's say you own 5 properties, you drop dead. Let's say you have 4 adult children. They can't agree on how to resolve that. They all end up hating each other. They fight over it, litigation, probate, all that kind of stuff. It gets redistributed. And then the lawyers get a good portion of it anyways, right? If you're a lawyer, don't be offended. But, hey, the lawyers are going to make their money, right? They're going to make their money. So the wealth is redistributed, some to the lawyers, some goes to this one, some goes to that one, and then just trickles down. Listen, all this property around us in Southern California, especially coastal Southern California, it's so valuable. You look at Dana Point or, you know, the backside of Dana Strand, and those are like, what, $20 million homes or whatever. I always joke when I'm walking on the beach with my wife, well, how much would it cost to have like a little piece of land and a tent right there? We always joke about stuff like that. Listen, about 200 years ago, no one was even there. I mean, when you go to the chart house there in Dana Point, you see pictures of what San Clemente looked like in the 20s. There's nothing there. It's just redistributed. Norwegians used to own San Clemente, and then they lost it. And then someone else got it, and someone else has it. It just gets redistributed. You can't take it with you. So the wisest thing you can do is let it flow from you. Jesus said, you need treasure in heaven, because what did Jesus say? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So the more that you can let go of things and be a conduit of God's time, you know, what you have is what? We talk about what you can give, your time, your energy, and your resources. The more you're a conduit of your time, energy, and resources for the kingdom of God, the more you are storing up wealth in heaven, and the more your heart's shifting to heaven. See, this guy's heart was in earth. It was him. It was accumulating. And he went away very sorrowful because he had a lot of wealth. And he wasn't willing to part with any of it because he trusted in his wealth. His confidence was in his wealth. But Jesus, of course, in the Gospel of Luke, told the story about the parable of the rich man who built bigger barns. And then he said, oh, foolish man, tonight your soul will be required of you. And then who will have your wealth then? This is one of the traps of the ages. And of course, in the four soils, the parable of the soils, this is one of the traps, the cares of this life and the riches. They choke out the good seed. And it's just so easy. We gravitate toward economic security and comfort. It's very natural, I believe. We gravitate toward that. We have a gravitational pull of security, enough for this, enough for that, looking down the road. We got to cover that. Okay, I'm covered. All right. Well, let's make sure the kids are covered. Let's get enough of that. Surely there's going to be grandkids. We want to make sure there's enough for that. Listen, there's never enough money. It's like, you know, I just recently shared this. Like I told Luke when he was going to get a job. He goes, Dad, if I just had $5,000 more, I'm like, you and every other man on the planet. Every man is $5,000 short in his dreams. And so are the women. But for different reasons. They spend it differently, right? You know? But it's like, hello. Enjoy high school, Luke, because you're going to be wanting $5,000 more the rest of your life from the time you graduate high school. You know? Yes, and then some, right? And so if it's always just a little bit more, just a little bit more, right? Rockefeller, how much is enough? Just a little bit more. How much is enough? Just a little bit more. You know, when I study world leaders that just conquer people and stuff, they can't stop. When you study World War II, you think, gosh, Hitler could have just pulled up in Eastern Europe and called it a game. But you see, it's not enough. You got to conquer Russia too. That's how it works. Just a little bit more. But you see, when you're a conduit by which God can work through, and you're not lacking anything. Your faith is in Jesus, the faith of a child. You're trusting in Him. He's got us covered. He's got your back. He's got your family. He's got your needs. He's got you like Brian and Heidi Jameson got the Jameson girls at a beach picnic. He's got you. And you know He's got you. He's got your back. So you don't worry, have to worry about what you've given up. Peter, okay, so you gave something up. David said he'll not give the Lord that which cost him nothing. When people tried to give David stuff, they'd say, no, man. I understand the principle of sacrifice. I want to give to the Lord. David took all of his wealth at the end of his life, gave it to his son Solomon, said, build God's temple with it. Make it a glorious place. When Solomon died, he said to Rehoboam, don't wreck it. And he did. David had the heart for God, and everything could go flow through David. But what was Solomon? He was a builder, right? He built empires. Build, right? Yeah, there's a lot to be learned when you study the Word of God and trusting in God and the things that really matter. See, in the end, this rich young ruler just could not trust God to take care of him. He couldn't trust God to take care of him in time, and he couldn't trust God to take care of his soul in eternity. And he didn't quite understand that Jesus is the focal point of eternity. He was so close to the kingdom. He was looking at the kingdom. He was looking at heaven. No one is seeing God, but the only begotten Jesus, the Son, the only begotten the Father, he has declared him to us. He's looking at eternity. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He's looking at Jesus. Oh, I've done that. I've done all those things. Don't miss what God has for you for eternity. And see, this is what I say. If you can trust Jesus for your salvation, and you can see him as the Savior on the cross for your sins and risen from the grave for your hope and justification, you can trust him with the rest. Or as Pastor Chuck used to say, if you get Genesis 1:1, you get the rest of it. And that's what this guy could not do. He just couldn't. Those riches owned him. They weren't the Lord's, and they really weren't his. At some point, unless the Lord intervened, this guy just died and left everything behind for someone else. And it's something to take to heart. We want to look at these passages and realize our faith must be and needs to be in Jesus, not just for salvation, but for provision and all these things that he's got beach day covered at Little Corona. And he's going to take care of us, and we can trust him that way. And we need to be warned by this rich young ruler the danger of trusting in self and self-confidence. We don't want to come one thing short of what God wants to do in our life. And listen, I got to tell you very honestly, for me in my life right now, this is sobering. Because again, you know, when I thought I was dying a few months ago, there's different things that God spoke to me about. And I just thought, you know, I do not, with three friends step into eternity in their early 50s in the last three months, I do not want to be one thing short on the day of Christ Jesus. Do you? Like, think about it. Do you want to be one thing short? Do you want to step into eternity and have Jesus Christ say this one thing you lacked? Who would want to hear? I mean, isn't that sobering to you? One thing you lack. And what did God say to me when I thought I was dying? When I was there in that hospital right down the street here, and I thought it was the big one and I was going, the Lord's like, you weren't willing to do this. He spoke to me about something I was not willing to do. And I was like, wow. So I look at here now in my life and think, I don't want to miss what he has for me and not be willing. I don't want to miss, and you don't want to miss, because you're unwilling to be radical for the Lord and to be all in with the Lord and be willing to fully trust him like the Jameson girls at a beach picnic at Little Corona. He's going to take care of us. Not one promise has ever failed, and he's been with us in the entire journey. So I want to encourage all of us to keep the faith simple in the person and the work of Jesus, and to hold very loosely the wealth that God might give you and see it as something to be invested in the kingdom of God, and not to trust in the riches, but to use them to sow a good seed for the kingdom. And whatever you think you might lose, verse 30, by serving the Lord, he promises so much more. He promises so much more. And I think of the Instagram from a year and a half ago when Rachel Yardley moved to Jordan and left her family and everything she knew. and just the heaviness of it and what a radical change it was for her life. And I see her Instagram today of this beautiful Jordanian wedding with all these Jordanian people celebrating a wedding with a Middle Eastern culture style. And she's right there in the midst of it with her all of her friends and family that God has given her in a whole new world, in a whole new place, while she's there with her handsome husband for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's life. That's life. Because in the end, we realize we must lose our life to gain it. So we don't really lose anything. We lose that which we cannot keep to gain that which we cannot lose.
You've been listening to the Worship Generation Radio Ministry with Pastor Joey Baran. If you would like more information about the ministry of Worship Generation, visit us online at www.worshipgeneration.com, where you can listen to the podcast of today's entire message. Worship Generation is located at 10350 Ellis Avenue in Fountain Valley, California. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. You can now watch both our services live via live stream by clicking the WG Live tab on our website, and also follow Pastor Joey on Instagram under the tag name at Joey Baran. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed, not ashamed of the one I love. Not ashamed, not ashamed.